The title of our message this morning is The Opera Ain't Over. Based on our epistle lesson from Romans 8, finding our theme especially in verses 35 and 37, which read, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I encourage you to open up your bulletin, if you haven't already, and find your blue insert as we consider our theme, The Opera Ain't Over. I enjoy creative sayings on church signs, on bumper stickers, and even homemade signs. Now, a church in St. Louis once was trying to say one thing on their church sign but ended up saying another. This is what the sign said in the front of the church building. Sunday's sermon topic, what is hell? And then in parentheses underneath it said, come early and listen to our choir. I don't think that's what they were trying to communicate, but that's how it came out. I've shared this before. This happens to be Evelyn Tweedy's favorite bumper sticker. At one time I saw a lady, quite older, in her 80s it had to be, driving a beautiful little car, and the bumper sticker on the back of the car read, So many men, so little time. You go, girl. That's a positive attitude, boy. At a CFL football game in Edmonton, where we used to live, somebody made a homemade sign, and it said, The opera ain't over. That's a shortened version for a longer saying that goes like this. The opera ain't over till the fat lady sings. What it means is this. The season is not over yet. We're not giving up. We're hanging in there. We still have hope. The opera ain't over. Look at your sermon outline. It's easy to jump to conclusions in our lives and lose hope. Some people make their living by conclusion jumping. They're professional poll takers, professional future predictors. But it's important to remember that such people who try to predict the future often end up with egg on their face. Their predictions don't come true. For example, England did not surrender to Hitler's Germany in World War II. And the little Prussian with the little mustache who proclaimed his kingdom would last for 1,000 years, well, it lasted about 6. Another prediction said communism would take over the world. Well, in 1990, communism fell. In the 16th century, a man named Nostradamus predicted the world would end in 1999. Whoops, we're still here. Now, there are many numerous biblical examples of the same thing. Like the day a 100-pound teenager named David went up against a 9-foot giant named Goliath and defeated him. Would anybody have predicted that? Or when a group of ragtag Hebrew slaves made it through the Red Sea, escaping the crack troops and chariots of Egypt. Who would have imagined that? Or the day a loving Jewish rabbi died on a Roman cross of execution. And 3 days later, he was alive. No way! Who could have seen that coming? Now, anyone who was an eyewitness to these biblical events might have said, there's no hope. The opera's over. And maybe there's someone here today. Maybe it's you who feels like, my situation is hopeless. There's no hope. For me, the opera is over. You see, the devil loves conclusion jumping, but God has a better idea. The devil loves for you to jump to conclusions. He whispers in your ear these things. You've heard him whisper, give up. You've heard him whisper, there's no hope. You've heard him whisper, things will never get better. God doesn't care. There's no hope. The opera's over. But God has a better idea. In Matthew 19, 26, he says to you, with man, this is impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. In our epistle late reading for today from Romans 8, he says in verse 28, we know that all things, did you catch that? All things work together for good who love God and are called according to his purpose. And in verses 35 and 37, hear God's message to you. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? No! We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now let's look at the biblical concept of hope for a moment. The biblical concept of hope is not based on the shifting sands of our feelings, of our faith, or our performance. The biblical concept of hope is based on the rock-solid foundation of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. First of all, God the Father is the foundation of our hope. Listen to these three texts. Jeremiah 14. O thou, the hope of Israel, our Savior in time of distress. Psalm 65. O God, our Savior, the hope of all the earth. Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, in whom I take refuge. God is the very foundation of our hope. Quite a long time ago, General George Boshke, a famous civil engineer who constructed the Galveston, Texas seawall around the city of Galveston to protect it from ongoing floods because of hurricane season. He had just finished the Galveston seawall, and he traveled to the wilds at that time of Oregon to build a railroad. And when he was 40 miles out of the closest town, a horseback rider came to him with a telegram, gave it to his assistant. The assistant read it, and he didn't want to tell Boshke what it said, but he handed it to him, and he said, I'm sorry to bother you, Mr. Boshke, but this telegram reads, the seawall you built in Galveston has fallen down and given away. The flood has destroyed it. Boshke just laughed, crumpled at the telegram, went back to work, and said to his assistant, that's a black lie. I built that wall to stand. I know what that foundation is made of. And it turns out, the telegram was based on a false report. Another hurricane struck. The floodwaters came, but that wall stood. My friends, the chief issue in all of our lives is this. What is the basis of our ultimate confidence? That is to say, who and what can you really count on? Biblical revelation tells us God the Father is the foundation of our hope. Everything else in this world will shift and change and crumble like sand in a rainstorm or a flood. The Heavenly Father is our foundation in hope. And our next point is this. The risen Christ gives us the very inner structure, the very guts of our hope. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15. St. Paul writes, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. The inner structure, the very guts of our hope, is in the risen and victorious Lord Jesus Christ. By Jesus' death on the cross for you, by Jesus rising from the grave for you, that means you have victory over sin. You have victory over death. You have victory over the devil himself. Nothing can separate you from God now and forevermore. And for you who put your faith in the risen Christ, there is the sure hope paid for with the blood of Christ, the sure hope of life everlasting in heaven. In the 1970s, in the early 70s, when there was real rock and roll music, none of this stuff to do. You're going to say 50s or 60s. That's okay, too. One of my favorite songs was entitled Hit Me With Your Best Shot. A woman by the name of Pat Benatar sang that. Larry Stevens, even now, is speaking the words. He knows the song. The song chorus kept saying, hit me with your best shot. Hit me with your best shot. On the cross, when Jesus was nailed there for your sins and for mine, he was hit with the best shot that sin and death and the devil had to offer. But on Easter Sunday morning, he rose. Make no mistake, he rose. And he shouted out for all creation to hear, the opera ain't over. The Heavenly Father is our foundation of hope. The crucified and risen Jesus is the very inner structure or the guts of our hope. And finally, the indwelling Holy Spirit supplies us with the very power to hope. Romans 15 puts it this way in verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. My friends, we cannot sustain hope and faith by ourselves. Our battles with sin and doubt wear us out. But the Holy Spirit is like a supply officer on a battlefield. Later in the service, well, you might wonder why we have a handsome, dashing man in military outfit today, Rob Roy. We'll explain that later. In our congregation in Leduc, we had a man who was in the Canadian military, and he was a supply officer. What do? In or near the field of battle, they supply the food, the ammunition, the weapons, the clothing, everything a soldier needs to keep fighting, the supply officer gives them so they can stay in the fight. God, the Holy Spirit, is our supply officer. How does he give you what you need as you continue in your fight? By the preaching and teaching of his word, by the celebration of the Holy Sacrament, by the pouring of the waters of baptism, by the fellowship of the church, what our Lutheran church calls the means of grace. The Holy Spirit is God's pipeline to supply us with what we need to stay in the battle. And then what's our response to God the Father, our foundation of hope? God the Son, the very inner structure of our hope. God the Holy Spirit, the very supplier of power for our hope. What's our response? Very simply, trust and confidence. When you look up the word trust in Webster's dictionary, here's what you find. It's on your outline. Look there. Trust is, maybe read it with me, assured reliance on another's integrity. Here's how the Bible puts it. Our epistle lesson for today. What shall we say to all these things? If God is for us, did you hear that? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things that we need? What does that mean? If God loved you so much, he gave his son on the cross to win for you forgiveness of sins and eternity, why would we not then be able to have confidence in him that he will take care of our everyday need from now until eternity? Webster defines confidence this way. Would you read it for me on your handout? Confidence is the state of feeling secure or sure or certain. The Bible puts it this way in Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He is like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear in times of heat or when drought comes. We conclude by sharing with you a famous painting. It hung in the Cincinnati Art Museum, Cincinnati, Ohio. I know that because the first congregation I served was in Dayton, Ohio, just 45 minutes north. in the Cincinnati Art Museum, and there was a famous painting entitled Chess Match with the Devil. In this painting, at a table was a young man with the devil, and it looks like the devil has just made a final move. Chess experts over the years saw that and said, well, it's all over. He's made the final move. There's no hope for that young man. And the prize of that game was the man's eternal soul. But one year, to that Cincinnati Art Museum, came another chess expert named Paul Murphy. And Paul Murphy stood in front of that painting for the longest time studying the chessboard. And finally, he saw something no other person had ever seen. And Murphy cried out loud, and you know it's taboo in an art museum, but Murphy called out, "Don't give up! Don't give up! You still have a move! You still have a move!" In Christ Jesus, my friends, you still have a move. The opera ain't over. Whatever is leading you to despair, whatever in your life today is making you feel like things are hopeless, don't listen to the lies of the devil. Today, Almighty God says to you, you can trust in Him. All is not hopeless. For you, His beloved child, God always has the last word. And His last word for you today is this: the opera ain't over. In the name of Jesus, amen.